It was nice to be hearing when they went on the fourth date. The title, you guys, oh, maybe you don't, under what authority? So we're all here today because we know that the feast portrays the coming of the kingdom of God. We know this because we've been blessed with the Spirit of God, and He's given us that knowledge. So we also know the importance of God's master plan. So first off, let's turn over to John 6:44. I know we've all read that and heard that probably many times so far, that this is why we're here, and it's very important to know this. This is our authority of being here. In 44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, let's confirm this using these three different approaches by establishing the value and importance of the following three things. The first one, the value of the Old Testament as it compares to the New Testament. The second thing would be a witness to the true meaning of or teaching of the kingdom of God. The authority of Jesus Christ would be the third. These are the things that give us the, what we call, legal standing to teach what we have, or teach what we're teaching, to perform or do what we're doing here. And not only that, we're preparing ourselves for the teaching of the people in the millennium, which we are playing out now. So let's first explore how the New Testament confirms the value and importance of the Old. We all realize, of course, that the Old Testament was written first, and the New Testament after. Many, unfortunately, think the Old Testament is simply old and has no value, or it's outdated. But I believe that Matthew, the book of Matthew, is a perfect book to bridge the gap between the Old Testament and the New. If you turn to Matthew 7:12, this is probably the most basic thing that's taught to people, that no matter what you believe, the old or new is good or bad, or Sunday, Saturday is good or bad. Therefore, you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. But how many people have actually read the last part of the verse, or even have heard the last part? Because people say, do unto others as they would do unto you, but they leave off that last part of the verse. The last part of the verse reads, for this is the law and the prophets. In no way, shape, or form did Jesus Christ do away with the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, there's probably 900 and something references to the Old Testament and the New Testament in some way or another. Let's turn over to Luke 24:44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were within the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." One other scripture supporting the value of using the Old Testament for clarification and confirmation, it clearly says and 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is inspired by God. So if you turn to verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3 clearly states all scripture is given by inspiration of God and not the ideas of men about God, but the writings of the holy men inspired by the Holy Spirit prior to the time of Christ's physical existence on earth. This was not the laws of Paul at all, but the same basic truths that were preached by Noah, the preacher of righteousness, by Abraham, by Moses, by Elijah, and by John the Baptist, and of course by Jesus Christ, and their source was the Old Testament. And it was for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There is no way to be righteous, and that way is described. There is a way to be righteous, and that way is described in the Old Testament. So let's turn to 2 Peter 1:19. In verse 19 it says, "And so we have all the prophetic word confirmed, which you will do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day draws and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." No, Paul did not think of new truth. He did not disagree with Moses or any other prophet or Jesus Christ. These instructions were given to Timothy, and that from a child you have known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. All scripture of the Bible of today's Christian regarding as the Old Testament is given by inspiration of God. Paul was an apostle, and he was charged with preaching the word. He was responsible for the training of many men under him. These evangelists and elders were responsible for carrying the same gospel message to the evangelist Timothy is preserved for us today, so that we will be able to tell how the Apostle Paul instructed the evangelist Timothy and all the other elders under him to conduct their preaching and from whence to get their information. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Here it says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." A witness to the true meaning of or teaching of the kingdom of God. We're going to the second one that I talked about. Although the Bible, there are requirements all throughout the Bible, there are requirements of authenticity. Why? Because it is the foundation of the core values that is taught throughout the Bible. So to support the validity of all this was taught there are commandments, laws, and examples of obedience and disobedience to be a type of witness that were created to lay the foundation to teach all of us the path to the kingdom of God. Take the ninth commandment, for example. Exodus 20:16. It says there, you shall bear false witness against your neighbor. That sets a precedence. The key term is witness. Is it not true that we have witnesses throughout the Bible? In Deuteronomy 19:15, it says, one witness shall not rise against man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. So in Matthew 18:16, it says, But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So as you can see, establishing a witness is vitally important. And if we put this into perspective, we know we now can see the importance of establishing a witness to the gospel of the kingdom of God. We have this witness as proof in all of the four gospels. The gospels were written as an eyewitness to support the truth of Jesus as the Messiah. God inspired the authors of the gospels simply because they're different backgrounds and personalities to accomplish his purposes through their writings. Each of the gospel authors had a distinct purpose behind his gospel, and carrying out those purposes, each emphasized different aspects of the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ. So finally, we have the authority of Christ. Jesus was sent here in human flesh by God to teach the gospel of the kingdom of God. It was prophesied in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be named Ishmael. Well, look at the New Testament scripture regarding this in Luke 1:30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Sounds like the kingdom to me. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom I said that there would be no end. Now, this kind of sums up the right there. This sums up it. This right there, the kingdom with no end. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go for and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." There's another way that is we're able to give that Jesus has obviously the authority, and that is he's healed people. And if you turn to Matthew 12:9, "And then he departed from there, and he went to their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had withered hand. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they may accuse him. Then he said to them, What man is there among you that who has one sheep, and if it fell into a pit on the Sabbath, would you not lay hold of him and lift him out? Or how much more value than is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out and restored his whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they may destroy him. Now, obviously, there's plenty of examples of other healings. And so basically, the point I'm trying to make here is that these things lay out the authority that we have to keep the Sabbath, the holy days, to learn, to prepare ourselves to teach people in the future, in the millennium, the same things that we're learning now. So let's I didn't write this one down. Let me find it. Let's turn to John 12:48, and that'll be concluding scripture. "He who rejects me and does not receive my word, that which judges him, the word and I have spoken will judge him in the last day."